It's a great kavod for me to introduce Rav Chaim Goldberg, who will be speaking about Hashgacha for the kosher fish store.
Shalom Aleichem. We know we're almost ready to enter into El, but I'm still feeling a little bit Erev Tisha B'Av, Dick, because I think it's the only place in Shulchan Aruch where ever Madame Dugim to Basa by Sudis Mafsekes. The din is that you're not allowed to eat Dugim by Sudis Mafsekes because it has Shem Basa to it. So they asked me to see if I could figure out a way to speak about fish and tie it into meat so that we're not Mafsek in any way from the official topic of the day. Before I get started, I would just like to share a Ha'ara, which came up this morning. It really has nothing to do with the topic, which is why I want to get off before I start. But we get phone calls, both from consumers in the field and mashgichim, and Mol, even a master from another Ashgacha, called up to ask a question. And obviously some questions are more thought out than others. And sometimes we've found, and you'll realize this yourself, especially if you're ever a Rav in just about any mikzayah, and you have to listen to a question from somebody who wants to know something. Sometimes it's very frustrating to try to understand exactly what the question that's being asked is. Today I got a phone call. This time it was from a Rav Machsher, who wanted to know if I was the rabbi who handles a certain company. I said, yeah, I'm the rabbi who handles it. He said, and you certify a certain product? Yeah. Well, a lady called me up from the neighborhood, and she said that she bought this product, and it just has a brand name and an OU, no distributor information, plain label, doesn't look right at all. I said, well, it sounds like a problem. He said, well, I'm understanding from you that you certify the product, so it's fine. I said, Rabbi, I don't understand your question. Are you asking me, does the OU certify such a company? The answer is yes. Are you asking me, is the product that's in your hand the product that we certify? I don't know. You haven't given me information I'm looking for yet. So if you'll be so good as to tell me exactly what it is that you'd like me to answer, I'll be happy to try to help you with it. But it's very important, and not only when you're the one asking the question, but when you're the one listening to the question, to hear from the question what the person is asking really needs to know. And I'm going to tie that into how we get started over here. I got a phone call a few months ago already from a mashgiach, who was not an OU mashgiach, for a small vad out in an area where they don't have a whole lot of vadim or hashgachas. And he called me up and he asked me, is tilapia kosher fish? So I shared this maisa with a poisik, and he said to me, so of course you told him it's a kosher fish. I told him, you know, I don't know. That day I was interested in hearing, you know, what is the guy trying to ask me? So I asked the guy, why do you want to know? He said, oh, because, you know, I got a delivery of tilapia, and the box says it's tilapia, but I don't know if it's kosher or not, so I want to know if we can accept it. So I said, well, you know, did you check the skin? He said, oh, the skin's off, that's why I'm calling you. I said, Rabbi, you realize that once the skin's off, so you have a problem. He said, well, is tilapia kosher fish or isn't it? I said to him, Rabbi, how long have you been working as a mashgiach? He said, 25 years. And I said, Rabbi, you don't sound like you know a whole lot about a fish. He goes, oh, no. See, I've been working in the same supermarket for 25 years, but I was working in the meat department. They had me doing melichas. They had me cutting things up. They just had me supervising things and taping it up. Today, they didn't need anyone in the meat department, so they sent me to the fish department. The fish department took a delivery of this tilapia, and I want to know, can I allow it on the kosher side or not? So, Rabbi Sai, unfortunately, there's lots of mistakes that can be made, and lots of times when you're hearing a question, you have to hear what the shoyl wants to know, not just what the shoyl is asking. I think they say it might be by Rabbi Saul Salanter, that a lady came to him once, Erev Pesach, she wanted to know if she could use milk for the Seder, for the Arba Kreisos. So Rabbi Saul was sitting with his Tamidim, he thought about it for a few minutes, and he gave her a good amount of money, and he said to her, it's better to buy wine. So Tamidim said, you know, Rabbi, that was very generous of you, but why'd you give her that much? That was more than enough to buy wine and a lot more than that. He said, Chacham, listen to what she's asking. She wants to know if she can serve milk for the Arba Kreisos. So you realize what that means. I mean, she's serving a milchik meal. She doesn't have enough money to buy fleishiks. You have to hear what she really needed in that situation. And there's a woman who didn't want to admit that she's absolutely broke. She couldn't afford to even buy meat for Pesach. So she needed a little bit more than money for yayin. So as we're discussing how to deal with a fish store, and actually we're going to deal with three different scenarios, not just a fish store. The first, obviously, is either the Rav HaMachshir or the Mashgiach in the fish store. You have to know what it is you're allowing into your store. A second situation where you would need to know what we're going to discuss is a Mashgiach receiving food service. A Mashgiach working in a restaurant, in a catering hall, things like that. We get lots and lots of calls from Mashgiach from catering halls who ask interesting questions, and we'll explain which questions are good and which ones aren't. And the third type of scenario where you would need the following information is let's say you're the head of a vod in an area that doesn't have a kosher fish store, and ladies in the neighborhood want to buy fish. So we're going to discuss buying fish from a non-certified fish store, what kind of requirements they have, and what to be concerned about. Well, as we mentioned earlier, we had a nice phone conversation with Mashgiach, who knew that if I would tell him tilapia is a kosher fish, then everything would be fine. Well, let's get started. What exactly makes a kosher fish? And he volunteers. Fins and scales? Who said fins and scales? Any volunteers? I just heard it. I didn't see it. Yeah? Well, for those people who are satisfied with fins and scales alone, I have a present for you that I wouldn't recommend to anyone else in the room, but you're welcome to have it. This here is an eel that I purchased at a very interesting, very dirty store in 8th Avenue, Brooklyn, which we call Brooklyn's Little Chinatown. It's very interesting matzav over there. Bechlal, no one bothers you. No one speaks English. And so long as you can point and show them money, you get whatever you want. Well, this little guy was swimming around yesterday. He's very, very fresh. And I had to ask the guy in Spanish, because at least in Spanish I could communicate efforts. I asked the guy in Spanish if he could please kill it before he put it in the bag. unfortunately, this eel wasn't bright enough to know that he was killed, because he kept flipping around in the bag even after they had cut his throat and ripped out his insides. Yeah, actually, I should mention that unlike the nearby, the OU is not matbid on chasid shechita by dogim, and even if the shechit doesn't have payas or claim to be a Ben Bris, he's still Neman for his Shechita. And this was a Shechita Menachas. He put it upside down, and he meat cleavered it. And then he zipped it open and took out all the goodies inside, and he left it to me like this. Well, this little guy, I took him on the B9 bus home from Chinatown, and the bag is flipping around left and right. So I was thinking, you know, it's a really good thing there are no New Yorkers around here, because I would be so arrested. Because how am I going to explain what kind of terrorist act I got with this shopping bag full of groceries that's literally thrashing back and forth? So I kept beating the bag to try to get him knock it down. And the guy in the seat behind me was looking kind of nervous, but he didn't get up and move, so that's his fault. Well, I have to be quite honest. I tried to look for exactly what kind of eel this is, and since I don't speak Chinese, they weren't able to answer me better than, you want that one? Okay, that one. Okay, so this is a that one eel, apparently. And I looked on fishbase.org. I think I got him. I think he's an oriental worm eel. I can't tell you for an absolute fact. And since I killed him before I asked him if he was kosher or not, you're just going to have to take my word on it that he isn't. But I have the printout from Fishbase. And unfortunately, it looks like this guy doesn't have scales on him. Some eels do have scales, some don't. No eel is kosher, even the ones that do have scales. I'm going to explain why. You know, they say the expression, Moshe Kibbutz term, you see in Masura Lemasura publications. Unfortunately, we're living in a generation where people don't really understand, you know, what even Pasuk Taichin Chumash is without help from an art scroll. And while normally I would absolutely recommend, in any circumstance, to understand that there's no question, there's nothing from about, you know, using a mikroized gedolus and you have no clue what you're talking about. But unfortunately, some people, they know you're not allowed to paskin from a Mishnah, but they think that you can paskin from an art scroll translation in Chumash. And the article said fins and scales. I had a guy call me up once and argue with me, why is so-and-so not kosher? He looked it up in Encyclopedia Britannica, and it says it has scales. So I said to him, but you realize that the Torah didn't say the word scale. The Torah said kaskesis. He said, yeah, I know, but kaskesis means scales. Actually, kaskesis does not mean scales. The Gemara in Chulin Samach Vavam Beis, I think it's included in the source book. The Gemara in Chulin Samach Vavam Beis discusses the Simon of the Torah, example of kaskesis. And the Gemara says that kol sheyesh by kaskesis, yesh by snapir. Anything that will have a kaskesis will have a snapir, which means that there's no longer any obligation to look for fins. So you already made this art school man's job 50% easier. He doesn't even have to know what a fin is. He doesn't have to know where to look for it. And showing them. Somebody asked me exactly which of the five or six different fins on this fish is the snapir that the Torah refers to. There's a dorsal fin, there are claudial fins, there are tail fins, there are anal fins. There are five or six different sets of fins that the average fish would have. Unfortunately, there isn't a whole lot of information, nothing I could find, where someone describes explicitly what the fin is. The only thing I can tell you is it's not the tail fin, because I've seen conversations in the Tosefta that talks about where you're supposed to be waiting for kaskesis, and it talks about looking by the tail. So obviously it's thinking that the tail is different from the snapper. So most people seem to just automatically assume it's the dorsal fin. I don't know for a fact one way or the other, but it's not nogea lemaisa, because when we're going to talk about a kosher fish, we're only going to be looking for kaskesis. So the question is, what exactly is a kaskesis, especially now that I was Malayga and all the art school folks that said that it's not a scale. What is it exactly? Well, why do they say it's not a scale? The Ramban in Chumash in Vayikra Yud Aleph Pasuk Tes.
Can you first explain?
I'm sorry.
Can you first explain what it is and then go to?
Well, we're going to discuss what exactly is a kaskesis. So the Ramban in Taichin Kaskesis tells us that a kaskesis is not necessarily a scale. See, the Merriam-Webster definition of a scale would include any kind of bony material that's a protective layer on the outside of a fish. The Ramban limits that, and that definition is taken up by the Ramon and Shulchan Aruch, and I think it's brought down from one of the guys who came on the Ramban, I forgot offhand. That a kaskesis is a scale which is niklef biyad ubasakin, something that you can pull off with your hand or with a knife without ripping the skin. This is a very important klal. There are plenty of fish that have kaskesis, or have scales, I should say, that are not kaskesis. One example would be, not my friend here, but some of his cousins, different kinds of eels. The American eel, what we call the American eel, the typical eel, and whenever you see eel brought in Nachrenim, they bring from Aleph Lamed. So this eel that they're referring to usually is the one that we refer to in Latin as Anguilla, and that one does have scales, cycloid scales, that are embedded underneath the skin, meaning the only way to get to them is by ripping through the skin to get under them as a kaskesis. The Ramban seems to learn this din, that it needs to have scales that can be removed. From this then, in Navi, the kaskesis are referred to somebody who is wearing a coat of mail, the armor that they used to wear in medieval times, before the U.S. military used to distribute the fragile, do not break military body armor. They used to make a coat of mail, which was basically a bunch of little metal circles that were overlapped one over the other. And the idea was that if a guy comes at you with a sword or with a spear or something and tries to poke it in, he's going to get caught up in the little discs between each other and it's going to get knocked down. So then you'll be able to take him out. So the Ramban learned that it's called a lavush over there. So he assumed that a lavush is something that you would wear outside. It can't be inside the goof. It has to be something that can be outside the goof, and it can be removed from the goof without destroying the goof, which obviously is the requirement why you have to be able to remove without ripping scales. Yeah, I'm sorry, without ripping skin. Yeah. I'm sorry, the source of the acres, the Ramban Chumash, Yud Aleph Pasuk Tes. Yud Aleph Pasuk Tes.
It sounds like it is scales.
I'm sorry?
Only a specific kind of scale.
Correct. Every kaskesis is a scale, not every scale is a kaskesis. How's that? Anyone here good at 8th grade math? The A implies B doesn't always mean B implies A. They're not necessarily interchangeable. So again, the definition of a kaskesis, which is what you're going to have to look for as a Rav Machshir, as a Mashgiach on a kosher fish, is that it has a scale which is able to be removed without ripping the skin. Now, exactly how much is called ripping the skin is a good question. It's not exactly clear. We had a mice once in the office where we were looking into a certain fish called a burbot. And I asked a company to send it to me. I couldn't find a company. And in the end, I wound up meeting up with a bunch of hobbyists in Mississippi. And one of them had one lying around in his freezer, which was quite rotten, but still intact enough. So he warned me not to eat it, and I told him that he didn't need to give me that warning, that even though the fish was dead, he was telling me loud and clear that he was not edible anymore. And actually, most of the ladies in the office didn't want to get anywhere near it either. But the burbot that they sent to the office had scales which, when you pull them out, seemed to rip a certain level of the dermis, or the epidermis, the outer layer of skin. And we held it for Rabbi Belsky. No one wanted to leave it in the office refrigerator, so Baruch Hashem, it was the wintertime. We opened up a window and stuck it out the window. And thank God it was before any of the real controversies happened, because I can imagine if a security guy was walking out and sees a box sitting outside the window and no one wants to touch it, I can imagine that I would have gotten in trouble for that. But we held it for the next day, and it was still interesting smelling. And when Rabelski got to it, to his credit, he dug right in and ripped out, you know, ripped the skin open to try and get to see where the scales were. And in this case, what happened was the scales were somewhat embedded into the skin. There was a certain layer of skin that was ripping when you pulled the scales out. But when we took a knife and cut all the way through to the flesh, we saw that there was clearly a full skin layer, which was on top of the meat, between the skin and the meat, in addition to this tiny skin layer on top of the scale. Rybelski said that he didn't think that that's what the Ramban was referring to as nikra ha'or. He understood nikra ha'or being something a lot more violent and damaging than just this slight mucusy kind of layer on the outside of the scales, and he held that it was mutter. So again, not all scales are kaskeses. All kaskeses are scales. Now, what would you do if Mashgiach calls you up and asks you, is all tilapia kosher? So the answer that you would give him is, well, what do you want to know for? So as long as he tells you that the skin is whole, or the skin at least has, the fish still has skin intact, we have what to discuss. But the question is a misnomer to begin with. Why? There's nowhere in Din that you have a right to rely on common name as a proof of much of anything. I don't even think by Oifas you require such a thing. Oh, I should mention that there's no Din Masaira on Dogim. How we learn it out is a good question. They bring it from the Ben Arash, I think, is who they're miyachs it to. I don't know anyone speaks about it b'feyrish, but it's clear in Chas and Poiskim that the only requirement is to be boidik it yourself to see if it has the simonim that the Torah gave on it. We don't find that by Chagavim, we don't find that by Basar, we don't find that by Oifas, we don't find that by anything else. How'd you like that little tie-in to back to Buster? There's no din masorah. There's only a din bdikas simanim. And again, the only simon that you had to check for was kaskases. So what about common name? So the answer is that there's no law that says you can't call that a tilapia just because the common nature is not to do so. And there may even be penalties from the government for mislabeling something. The FDA on its website clearly lets you know that you should not rely on them to guarantee that the fish that you buy is what the guy claims it is. And they cite myriad examples where meichrim are selling one fish and it's really something completely different. And let's face it, if it's something that's close enough, once you bring it home, you bring it back and say, hey, you told me this was so-and-so and it's really so-and-so. So the guy's going to shrug his shoulders and say, either I made a mistake, I don't really know, I thought that's what I said. You know, your word versus his, there's absolutely no right to rely on the guy behind the counter in a fish store, you know, a nice Gentile fellow telling you that, yeah, that's fine, it's tilapia, it's kosher. Just like the rabbi on the phone told you, no problem, this is your tilapia, it's good. Again, the question first of all is, how do you know it's a tilapia? You read the box. There was a hashgacha that told me that for many years they relied on the box. The box said tilapia on it. The guy wouldn't lie. Don't you know that the government would get down the guy's case if he sold something else as tilapia? That's absolutely false. It's not only false that back then, now even where the government claims to be more vigilant about it, I just read an article in Seafood Business Magazine last month where somebody was talking again about this Vietnamese catfish called Tra, T-R-A, and they're selling it now again as grouper. Because the catfish farmers in the South have a nice lobbyist group going for them, and they had a fit that these guys in Vietnam are selling fish they call catfish for a third of the price or something like that, flooded the market with discount fish, and the people who cover it in breadcrumbs, fry it up, and serve it to their families didn't know the difference between this Vietnamese catfish and American catfish. So the American catfish farmers were losing all their parnassa. So they made a law that you're not allowed to sell it as catfish. You have to call it something else. So once you call it something else, now the guys who were looking for catfish didn't want it anymore. So they got to sell it something else. But no one knows what a tra is. No one knows what a basa is. So they came up with other names, things that sounded similar to fish that you would recommend. And the guys who were less scrupulous just picked a name that would get them much more money. So grouper was a fish that they were interested in dealing with. And not only was it something that I read in Seafood Business Magazine, I was actually smoothing with one of our companies who just distributes fish that is manufactured from elsewhere. And I mentioned this to him, that I just read this story. What does he know about it? He said, you know, it's funny you should ask that, because actually the fellow is Jewish but not religious. And he had some from guys working in the same office as him also selling fish. And these chevra were dealing in grouper. So the guy came by one day and he was, you know, looking around the office. And they had some samples. And he said, what is that? I said, that's grouper. He said, that's not grouper, that's basa. They said, basa? No, we ordered grouper. It says in the box, it says grouper. So the guy said, you know, listen, you can believe me or not, but I'm telling you, I deal basa, and I know exactly what a basa is. That's not a grouper, that's a basa. So they looked into it, calf hava. And again, you cannot rely on the box, you cannot rely on the government, you can't rely that there's any kind of a mirsis. The government's telling you, but pemoli. There is no mirsis when it comes to a fish being properly identified. They even recommend that you go to somebody that you feel comfortable with, that he's generally an upstanding person, that he's doing business the right way, because he could pull anything off, literally, and sell you whatever he likes. As far as checking simon are concerned, I brought some samples here. I was expecting that someone's going to ask me what it is. I wasn't sure exactly. Again, my Chinese isn't as good as it should be. And I don't know what the label said. It was a bunch of little squiggly characters. And it looked to me like a croaker. I'm not exactly sure. If somebody is more of a maven and wants to set me straight, please feel free to do so later. But when people ask me on the phone, you know, how do I know if the fish is kosher or not? So I tell them, listen, asking me for a name, or they ask me sometimes for copies of the OU fish list. Many years ago, the OU put out a list of kosher fish, so the guy wants to take it to the supermarket, and that's going to be his shopping list. He's going to go down the list, and they ask the guy, what's that? And he's going to flip the pages, okay, it matches up, okay, good. Now we got fish, we got dinner, and Shalom al Yisrael. There's a big problem with that, because again, we just discussed that the guy is not Naaman to tell you what it is in the first place. Second of all, they're fish that are known by multiple common names. One example of that is Escalar. Escalar can refer to a kind of, two different types of fish. One of them, Vada, has scales. One of them supposedly doesn't. I didn't check it myself, but I know one Vada does have scales because Rabbi Epstein, who we'll be speaking to later this week, went down to Assi's and found the kosher Escalar. And after reading an article about how Escalar has no scales, I called Rabbi Epstein a little bit frantic and said, Rabbi, we have a problem over here because they're selling Escalar at Assi's, and this is bad because the article says Escalar doesn't have scales. So he went down to Assi's that afternoon and he said, Rabbi Goldberg, I have the thing right in front of me, and I'm telling you this thing has scales all over the place. So I don't know what the article you read. Till one day, our friends at Seafood Business Magazine did an article about Escalar and how some unscrupulous people are selling this fish that shouldn't be called Escalar and calling it Escalar because the island likes Escalar. So that's a problem. And again, you know, that common name means nothing. A guy can get away with whatever he wants. And in all honesty, a guy could be selling you an Escalar. You think you're buying the kosher one. He's selling you the treif one. And he could be an upstanding person who's trying to do the right thing. So anyway, so what do you do, Lamaisa? You want to purchase a fish. You're stuck in a situation where there's no kosher fish store, or you're the Rav Masha that's making this a kosher fish to begin with. So what do you do? So what you have to do is you have to be ready to get yourself. You have to try and pull a scale off of the fish and to see if the scale comes out without the skin ripping. The Tosefta talks about three different places where you would find a scale on the fish. One would be by the gill, behind the head over here. One would be by the tail, which is over here. And I believe the other place mentioned is by the fin, which again we're going to assume is the dorsal fin, the back fin, over here, see? Yeah, this is the reason why. Actually, this, I'm oversimplifying. I think this is the dorsal fin, and this is the, I forgot the name, whatever. But they're actually two different fins, even though they look pretty the same. You never want to grab a fish from behind, by the way. Just so you get an idea why, because especially when it's alive, because he's got little spines here up the back. You see how I'm pulling it up? And if you grab him from behind, you're grabbing him against the grain. So he gets nervous, he lifts his spines up and rips your fingers. So what you want to do whenever you're grabbing a fish, and this is good for people who like to go fishing, what you'd want to do is you'd want to grab him from the head and smooth him back, both to calm him down and to grab him and smooth him this way against the spines rather than this way where you're going to get poked on them. So what you're going to want to do whenever you're pulling a scale of a fish, I mentioned that Tosefta says there's three places to look for a scale. There's some question in the Poskim if you need to find it in all three places or not. So we paskin, I think the Ramah brings it down to Fayers, that one kaskes is matter of fish, which means you find one scale anywhere on the fish, it's mutter. Why then did Tosefta say those three places? Because those are places where if you find a scale, it's much more mistaber that it came from this fish and not from a Shachin Toiv next door who had kaskes and left a couple behind. That's a very big problem because fish are generally placed one next to each other, so how are you going to know if the scale is somewhere in the middle of the body, maybe it fell off somebody else and landed over here, unless you pull it out with a shikul, you know, strength and then it pops out afterwards. There's no way to know that it didn't land on somebody else and just be sitting on top of the fish. So that's why they recommend those three places. And a fish like this, it's not going to be necessary because he's Malav Gadlish Kaskasis on the side. Sorry, you have a question? Oh. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and rip out a scale. So just for convenience sake, I'm going to pull up the middle. When you're ripping a scale, you want to brush, again, against the fish, not from the head towards the tail, because this is the way the fish swims. See, the scales are always going to be attached to the end closer to the head. Somebody asked me once, why? How do I know that? I tell him, you know, my grandfather, Shalom, told me that when he was in Europe, they once designed a car that the door opens the opposite way of the way we open. Normally, when you open the door, right, you open it up and you have to come around the door backwards and in. So some guy had a chaf. Let's open the door the backwards way, right? So that way you'll open the door, flip it open, sit in, close door, and it'll be geschmack. So it's a very nice idea. You know, it's like these university types. We know it works in theory, but we know it works in practice, but does it work in theory, right? So the guy tried it. Yeah, it's a good svara. Yeah, yeah. So he started manufacturing these cars, and there was a little problem. See, whenever the cars started driving too fast, or a little piece of debris would get caught on the door, what happened? It ripped the door right off the hinges. See, because you're going against the airflow. So if you'd be swimming this way, and your scales would be attached closer to the tail, as you're swimming, the water would be ripping the scales off of your body. The reason the fish needs the scales in the first place is to help protect it from predators, from parasites, from disease. And if the scales would be ripped off the body, obviously the fish isn't going to last very long. So when you're going to look to remove a scale, you're going to try to take the open end, the end that's not attached, which is going to be closer to the tail. You brush forward on the fish, like I'm doing now. Oh, you saw that? They're popping off all over the place. and you'll see scales flying off of the fish, which in this case, I could tell you they're coming off because I'm pulling on it, and there was never a question about it. But not all the time, when you're running a fish store, will you get a whole fish where it's real obvious. So what I did for this trip, at least, I bought two of the exact same fish. This one I took home and I cut up myself. I took his head off and I took the skin off of one side. A lot of times when you're in food service or in the fish store, what will happen is you'll buy from a supplier who takes off the head. Sometimes he'll even take off the whole body of the fish, just leave you a fillet, and a tag, what we call a skin tag, by the tail. Why would they do that? Because the more of the skin they remove, the cheaper it is to transport. There's less weight there, and there's more yield compared to what you're going to serve. See, again, when you have to cut up the fish and throw away the bones and the junk and everything else, all that's money wasted on trucking a fish that you're not going to use up to you so that you can cut it and then throw the junk away. Well, he's wasting time and money in paying someone in New York $20 an hour to cut up the fish, and the trucking cost and the freight cost of shipping it up from wherever the fish is processed. So if you get something like this from Southeast Asia where they pay a guy $5 a week and he cuts that fish up for you and sends it in fillets, so you're going to still need at least a patch of skin on it. Because, again, if you don't have that patch of skin, you don't know anything. So I had the guy scale it for me. So this side of the fish is skin on, completely scaled. He did a pretty good job, but he didn't do a terrific job because I found a couple close, very, very close to the tail. But just so you get an idea of what it looks like, this is a fish whose skin has been removed. I didn't do a great job because I did it by hand. And I left the tag of skin in the place just so you get an idea of what that looks like. This is the most common way that you'd be getting in a piece of fish that did not have a shkacha. Again, filleted most of the way and a patch of skin. You can, once you have a patch of skin, whether or not it has scales on it, if you're able to recognize the fish based on that patch of skin, you can accept it as a kosher fish. How do I know? First of all, if a fish had scales anywhere during its life cycle, that's acceptable. It doesn't have to have scales in front of you. We'll show you another sample in a few minutes of another fish that lost its scales in the process of its life cycle. But even in this case where the person who was selling the fish removed the scales from it, if you're able to recognize what the fish is, you don't actually have to touch it and play with it, which is why someone asked me once that here I am advocating that you're not allowed to go to the fish store and just tell the guy I want a white fish. So he said, I don't understand. What do you think my bubby did when she went to the fish store and she bought a white fish? Do you think she told the guy, pull it out of the case, I want to play with the scales over there every time she went to the fish store? Absolutely not. Dr. Chuva says the fairest that there's absolutely no reason to do that once you're mocking them in. Once you know that the fish that you're buying is the same fish, you buy the same white fish every day, every week, whatever it is, and I can assure you that our bubbies weren't looking for the latest thing coming out of Southeast Asia. They were buying the same fish, pike, carp, white fish, whatever it was, week after week. They recognized it. There was no need to be bodiket for some on him. She was able to be makabel masayra from her mother, from her neighbors, from wherever it is. But the question is, when it's a fish that's not familiar to you, how do you have a right to know that it's a kosher fish unless you're going to get for some on them? So again, if you don't have the scales to pull off because they were cleaned, and you're able to recognize the fish based on the tag, that would be acceptable. I got a call from a vod out of town where the guy asked me if he could accept fish in with a skin tag. I said, absolutely, you most certainly could accept with a skin tag, because as long as you'll be able to be marked that this is the same fish as this, based on that skin tag, that's absolutely acceptable. So the guy says, yeah, but what if the mashgiach who's accepting the delivery has no idea what a fish is supposed to look like, so he has no clue if the fish he's accepting is a kosher fish or not? So I said to the guy, well, absolutely, he wouldn't be reliable because he has no idea what he's looking at. So I said, what do you mean? You just told me that the hashgacha is a good hashgacha if the guy leaves a patch of skin in there. So what are you telling me now? My mashgiach isn't good to accept it. So I said to the guy, I don't understand. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you have two bags of potato chips. One has hashgacha on it, one doesn't. Right? Absolutely. And you have a person who's blind who goes to the supermarket. Okay? Is the person who's blind neman for edus? For certain things, for sure he is. Okay? Would you trust him to take the right bag of potato chips from the supermarket? No, absolutely not. Okay, so now you're telling me that writing an OU on the bag of potato chips is also not a good hashgacha, because what's a blind guy going to do when he goes to the supermarket? He doesn't know which one has an OU on it. The answer is, a person who doesn't know what he's looking at has no business being involved in it altogether, because if you don't know what you're looking at, they could be handing you God knows what, and you're going to think that that's what they say it is. So the answer in all cases is that we hope that our mashgichim are qualified, we hope that they know what they're looking for, and we hope they'll be able to handle situations like that.
Any questions on fish? Yes.
What if you go into a fish store and you see cut up salmon?
Cut up salmon. Okay, well, there's two questions. I'm going to rephrase your question. That you're really asking two things. One thing that you're asking is, what happens if there's a salmon without skin, which OU policy and many hashgachos are of the same opinion to allow salmon without skin. Some have asked what the question, how can we do that, since there's obviously a shiloh of dung blossom on him. The answer is that we, like many other hashgachas, accept that the salmon has a siman muvak, that its red color is a siman muvak. There's no other non-kosher fish that has the same flesh color as a salmon. You're not going to get confused that a guy who's selling you a salmon is selling something else, except possibly certain kinds of red trout. Steelhead is red, but it's also kosher. Somebody asked a question about dyeing it. Keep your eyes on the Hamudiah. There's an article that we're writing about that. It's supposed to appear sometime in El, explaining why the dyeing it is not a concern. The vitamin they feed the farmed fish in order to turn it red cannot be used to feed other fish red. And if you'd like to discuss it, we can discuss it privately. Or, again, keep your eyes on the Hamudiah. Eventually, it'll come out, supposedly before Shana.